The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. September the 30th, 2024. The time is 2 o'clock on the dot. My name is Melvin Prince Johnick, and the show's called Life is a Gamble. Call in number 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. Let's get right into it. Philadelphia, you're disturbing me. You won't fight for anything at all. I'm looking at the Philadelphia Tribune, and Friday, September 27th, it is showing the most influential people in this city right here. Tribune celebrates this year's top African Americans making an impact in Philadelphia. Help me out here. I see four people on stage. I'm sure there was many more. But the four I'm looking at on stage, now Miss Lynn Brown So, I like her. And she's been on many boards, and she's righteous. So she gets utmost respect from me, from the Cheney board to the Housing Authority board. She is righteous. She listens. She talks to constituents and residents in this city right here. Tell you the truth, she should be running. She should have ran for mayor. But then you also, I'm looking on here and I see Sarah Lomax Reese. I mean, do you know her? I'm not talking about the age group. I'm saying, do you know her through the age groups? So from age 20 to 90, do you know her? Can she walk down the street in anywhere in Philadelphia and you recognize her? Probably not. And she the one that just... I don't know if she let go. I don't know if she was aware of or whatever happened to Andre Lawful Sanders on Word URD. She run the station. She's a black woman who runs that station. And they couldn't come and work anything out in order to keep a journalist who was everybody's favorite. See, this is a problem that I have. So I'll never call the morning show again. So I'm familiar with calling that show. And because she did that, she was instrumental in me putting my resources together to get my own show. See, when the people show you who they are, believe who they are. What makes you think because she has a relationship because she looked like you with the people? I've never seen that 53rd in Wailuce. I've never seen that 53rd in Girard. And I'm not saying she should be there. But I'm saying if you the first and only black station, you should have an impact there. And because you affect poverty and only poverty, I don't weigh that. I don't buy that. It's easy to go into poverty and have some kind of control. All you got to do is take drugs. All you got to do is take cigarettes. All you got to do is call it a food desert and take food. You already heavily subsidized poverty to the extent that, you know, they would accept a lot of people because they look for help and they think that you're going to help them. But no, I wouldn't have gave her that award. That's not the top influence. Who does the voting? Did we do a poll? Then now you see a guy that's in the neighborhood, but he let $110 million go back to the state. Senator Vincent Hughes. That money was supposed to go towards people who had people renting their homes under the moratorium who did not pay rent. And so we were going to give them some relief with the $110 million. But yet him and a few others, and I always talk about these attorneys that y'all got as state senators and state reps and stuff like that that don't represent your best interests. McClendon is an attorney. Dollar Bullock was an attorney. Sharif Streets, an attorney. So how did a non-attorney such as Vincent Hughes say that the information was too convoluted? Why didn't he just go to one of his one of his rep people, one of his associates, and let them take a look at it so we could get the money. You give $10,000 to a school, $10 million to a school, you let $110 million go back to the state that they probably use for a prison. Y'all weak in this city right here. Y'all don't fight nobody but the messenger. Reggie Bryant coming at the helm. A lot of folks, Rotan Lee, come at the helm. Anytime the messenger get on here and call y'all weak and say y'all don't fight for anything, but y'all listen relentlessly. Y'all, you know, it's like going to the corner store. Y'all don't know who back there fixing your food, but you'll go there in a heartbeat and get the chicken wings and get the chicken gizzards and get the french fries. And then tell me what Tony Watling, let me make sure I get his name right, Tony B. Wallington, what has he done? He was hired as superintendent of the school, but what has he done? What effect has he had since he's been here? Crickets. Not like that other lady, the African-American lady, the one passed away, God rest her soul. She made sure that if you couldn't read, the parents could come in and go to these schools at nighttime and learn how to read. You know, Miss Constance Clayton, her and her mom went to the church I went to, St. Paul Baptist Church, when I was ordained some time ago, under C. Matthew Hudson. And so it's a joke. It's a joke. You guys let these folks give you a paper and they put their friends in there. All these people getting a paycheck. And yet we still a poor America. We still a poor Philadelphia. And y'all sit around and, okay, you don't buy the paper. That don't stop them from being in there. They get to put that trophy or that award on their mantelpiece, and they still getting the paycheck. But I just happened to see the paper, y'all, and it kind of pissed me off. And I'm just really mad that Philadelphians don't get pissed off no more. Y'all listen to people vent, but y'all don't do nothing at all. They've shut you down. That's why life is such a gamble for you. Everywhere you turn, you like high risk. You like high risk poker. Turn this way, you're going to get locked up. Turn this way, you're never going to get to the hospital on Broad Street because they don't put barriers along Broad Street when it comes to going to the hospital coming from south to north. And y'all don't feel that effect right there because they say vote like your life depending on all you have been, all, only thing that's being talked about is this election. That's it. Not how it's going to help you. Not how it's going to better the community. Not how you going to get out of these constraints that's put on you. Just the election. And they bombarding you with it. You know, one of the worst things they could do for me is to send me some election stuff through text on my phone. I didn't give you permission to do it, and there's an invasion of my privacy, and there's a likelihood that I'll never vote for you if you send this stuff through my phone. But they buy your information from somewhere, and they deliberately broadcast it on your phone without your permission. So next week, I'm going to probably tell you what companies you could use to block that. So that way you won't have to worry about it. So I have three things on the agenda I wanted to talk to you guys about. Good afternoon. Let me say that once again. Let me make sure that you understand the call numbers are 888-329-3306. Life's a gamble. I've lived enough life where I can talk to myself for at least an hour. And maybe some. So you can call me and join the conversation, or you can listen to me vent and be the voice and be the courage that you might lack in this city right here. There's a few things that I always start a conversation off with I don't understand. Because if I don't understand it, then I'm looking for some kind of clarity. So when you call up here, help me understand this a little better. Number one, since Uber and Lyft has come on the scene, you have just about a third of the people who normally would be learning how to drive and normally would be driving are not driving. And so why did the government use our funds, taxpayer funds, to fund electric cars being built? Who gave them the permission to do that? And I'm really tired of African Americans not sticking together as a group. Every other group sticks together and say, you cannot use my money. They had the Boston Tea Party for that right there, you know, taxation without representation. They're taking your money and you are not benefiting from however they're using your money, and you're okay with that. You won't speak at all towards that. That is a fundamental problem, and it's dangerous. It's like somebody reaching in your pocket when you get your paycheck, and after you go to the check cashing place and cash it, and you got $112 in your pocket, they reach in and take 40. And you stand there with your hands up and let them do it. All day long. I don't really know how these electrical cars work in the wintertime. And if somebody in Alaska or somebody in Chicago or Detroit or one of those really cold places, Massachusetts, want to call and tell me how these lithium batteries, where you get the lithium from the warmest place in the world, which is Africa, how does it work in the wintertime? If it doesn't work in the wintertime, then it renders your car helpless or non-mobile. And I think this car, these electric cars are kind of like a disciplinary car. Like they put you in a corner when you do something wrong. Because every time you got to go to a charging station and charge up, you actually got to sit there. So you can't be mobile for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So if anything happens between the time that you got to charge your car up, look, it's oxymoron, stupid. You got to sit and charge your car up so you can't get to your son. You can't drop your wife off nowhere. You can't pick her up on time because you are low on electricity. Or somebody say, well, there's a battery pack that you can buy as a reserve and put in the trunk. Well, why would I need to buy a reserve battery pack for my car if it comes with a battery? Oh, because that battery may run out. So let me see. If I pump gas, it takes me all but 5 minutes to pump gas. But it's going to take me 20 minutes to plug my car up. But then I can use a reserve battery pack that's in my car. Yeah, right. It's supposed to be convenient for you. You want convenience now. I take muscle car any day. And another thing I don't understand is, if you're not sure how it works in the wintertime, and some of these electric cars have been known that when they are out of electricity, everything locks. So they had to put an emergency switch inside of the armrest in order to detach the doors, door locks, manually, because they actually was known to lock people in the cars. And y'all don't fight about anything. And I'm talking about somebody calling up here who is not African American and tell me that they put the fight in and that they are concerned about a bunch of issues and they're writing letters and stuff. I'm talking about the ones who claim that the system is unjust, the system is unfair, the ones that put their kids in these public school systems that can't read or can't write when they graduate 12th grade. The ones that watch TV 16 out of 24 hours a day. The ones that let their children between the age of 8 and 30 play video games for 12 to 16 hours a day. So I'm talking to those people only. So call me up. Come on, let's have this conversation because you won't fight for anything else. So you might as well fight me. I might as well be in a position so you can fight me. You can argue with me. Life's a gamble. I'm willing to take that gamble because I figure, if you're good at arguing with me, then I know how you can defend yourself as city council where you do not go there. You about the only city council where they don't have an evening in Abington and in Chaffanc, PA, and in King of Prussia and Willow Grove. They have an evening council meeting, meaning it starts at 7 o'clock. I think it's like once or twice a month. Yours start early in the morning, so while you're at work, you can't participate in the process at all. While you're somewhere out earning a living or looking for a job so you can earn a living, they're holding the city council meeting. They make over $100,000 for this part-time job, and they do it during the daytime. They got no night shifts. And you guys aren't complaining at all. This, you whine about everything else. You'll talk about how somebody's hairdo is, but you won't talk about why you don't have a meeting that will fit me in the evening time. Make it make sense. Just make it make sense. Right now, it don't make sense. But hey, life's a gamble, and you have been uncomfortably comfortable and doing nothing. You weak. The city has produced a bunch of weak folks. Yeah, all right, you're going to fight the person who look like you, but you're not going to fight nobody else. Every neighborhood where they had a so-called activist and they came in and the developers built in that neighborhood, the activist has gotten crumbs, and now the developers have gotten what they needed built, and the activist no longer exists. They called me the other day and say, well, Prince, they trying to shut my office down. I said, how long have you had your office? Like 8 years, right? They said, yeah, we had the office for like 9 years, going on 10 years, and they shut it down. I said, why would they do that? They said they need the space for something else. I said, didn't they know how important you was to the community? He said, well, the community's already built now. People have moved in them houses. Right. So you strong on them to get this office space. You relied on your politicians to give you seed money to fill this space up with furniture and all this other stuff. But you never went to anybody to get your payroll ran. You never did your 501c4 or 501c3. So you was just in here having fundraisers, raising money to get people stipends. But you wasn't raising money to secure and solidify being here. Yeah, they do that. They take it. After a period of time, they take it. Yeah, they going to take it. That's one of my issues. Call me up and tell me, you know, what people, the people who got these honors, if they should have gotten these honors. Or call me up and tell me who you think should have got these most influential honors. I got a problem. Every time I see this paper, they don't have no Republicans on here, too. Just to make mention, you know what I mean? So if they taking any of my tax dollars, this paper getting any soft money, soft grant money from Republicans, I'm going to have a problem with that. I'm tired of looking at this paper and seeing only Democrats up here. I get it. You guys support each other. I'm okay with that. But you support poverty too, because all these folks who are non-African Americans who control the money convince you to give them a piece of the opportunity in poverty. And you do. You sell poverty out. Every time you get, you sell people in poverty out. So I have a third pet peeve. How come they've turned my LA Fitness into the new nightclub? Why you got these women in LA Fitness wearing these workout clothes that you can see all their goodies? Men can't even concentrate. They huddle up and talk about, look at that, look at this. And these insecure women, you can't have conversations with them. You might lose your job. Why? Because they may film you having a conversation about them, admiring them inside of a gym, you know, where, and I'm like, if you saying that women only, and you saying women empowerment, why you don't build your own gym? Why not? Why you not working out in your own gym? You know why? Because one thing you need to know is that handbags don't impress men. Red bottoms don't impress men. That stuff only impress other women. Other women get a joy out of that. If men's trying to get you out of your stuff, you think they're going to say, oh, my God, you got some nice red bottoms on. Until they get you out of the red bottoms. So when you come to the gym with all the tight stuff on and stuff like that, men don't... And it's a turnoff when you're sweating in certain places and stuff like that. And men see you sweating like that. They don't want nothing to do with you. They already, come on. I can assure you, a man sitting there, his wife come to gym like that, and no man is taking a woman out to dinner once he's seen her in that condition. So you can forget about that. So look, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm a little past my time. I'm going to come back on the other side because I got some more frustration in me because y'all won't fight for anything in this city right here. Once again, the call number is 888-329-3306. Life is a gamble. Your host, Melvin Prince Jonathan.
Here's an important message for all first responders, tow truck operators, and anyone who works on Pennsylvania roadways. Every day, emergency responders just like you are struck by vehicles while working on the road. Some don't survive. Others are critically injured and can never go back to the jobs they love. Lives are changed forever in a matter of seconds. Today's drivers are more distracted than ever before and often don't see responders working on the road until it's too late.
In 2020, emergency responders and other highway workers are being struck and killed at least once every 7 days. Remember, you can't help anyone if you become a victim yourself. Get trained in traffic incident management and learn how to survive. It's free of charge, and it's waiting for you now. Work safely, stay alert, and stay alive. Your family, friends, colleagues, and the public you serve need you. This message is brought to you by Penntime and Beasley Media Group. Learn more about Pennsylvania traffic incident management training at penntime.com.
Eleanor steals your heart. She was diagnosed at 5 weeks old, a type of leukemia, and it's associated with Down syndrome. Being able to come to St. Jude was a blessing and the best place for her. Talking to the doctors and nurses, they were on top of it. They got this, we got this, it's gonna be okay, and we're gonna get through this. Here, it's like a celebration of life. There's so much great stuff happening. The doctors and nurses are her best friends, and you can tell that they love her, and you could tell she loves them, and that relationship is just amazing. We're just so grateful for them.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
You got to know when to hold up.
Know when to run. So you guys are always going to get that song right there. That Kenny Rogers song is one of my favorite Kenny Rogers songs. And so I'm back. And just give me 2 minutes to explain this right here. Because not just that you guys don't fight for anything. You have an election that's like 31, 32 days away. Maybe 37 days away. Somewhere in that area. And yet I go through this whole city. And I don't see anything up at all. And I'm not talking about Republicans. I'm talking about Democrats. You got a majority Democratic city, and you had such a low turnout, you would think that 37 days out that you would be flooding these areas. And I've seen some stupid signs that y'all put up. And I'm like, yo, why did they put these orange and blue signs up? Because let me tell you, I go two places. I go to Cheney, I go to Lincoln University, and I go to Aldi's. And I get signs made up, Aldi's and Lincoln University, and put those orange and blue signs right beside Harrison signs. And guess what? Once people glance over and see that variety, they will not vote because the signs that you guys are putting up do not stand out. Hey, I don't have a nickel in that quarter right there, but it is stupid. It's almost like you guys are... You guys are doing the dog and pony show. You're going to get people out there in the electoral. Folks are going to take the election anyway. All I can do is vote for my candidate. All I can do is go in there and vote for my candidate. And I think it's stupid for people to get on here and say, if you vote for Donald Trump, then you will sell out, or you vote for... They've never called me that, especially not in my face. So I'm not... That's not something that I don't think they dare to do that. But if you vote, you vote. What you do inside of that booth is your business. It's not everybody's business. And you have a right to change your mind at any point in time. Nobody has a right to shame. If they're not shaming you for being 400 pounds, then surely they can't shame you for voting. And this stupid commercial that's coming on all the African-American stations that say that the more you vote, we can track that. The more you don't vote, we can track that. If you can track that for me, which I might not want you to know my business, what do you care if I vote or not? It's none of your business. But for nobody to get up and challenge that, for y'all to listen to that and accept that, you just weak. The city is a bunch of, man, you got to get them old ladies that used to be in OIC, them old ladies who used to be lifetime members of the NAACP. This new generation of weak folks, they'll run their mouth, they'll act like they know what they're talking about, and yet they'll produce nothing at all. So, Ms. Mary, how are you today?
Yes, good afternoon, Prince.
Pissed, Miss Mary. Yeah. Just pissed. These weak people in the city right here, they don't fight for nothing. They scared.
Yeah, I was looking at the Tribune, Philadelphia Most Influential, because I buy the Tribune. And we should not be in the position that we're in this city, based on all these CEOs I see here.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Blue Cross and Blue Shield got an African American male CEO. You know,
movers and shakers. Yeah, I see here. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see a lot of self-appointed African American leaders.
That's what George called.
You know, I hear quite a few that's on the radio. You know, and this is why I think a lot of times we're not getting things done, because people are basically in it for themselves.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen it.
Take a look at the only one. Take a look at page 3A. They starstruck. You got city council with an actress. Everybody honoring this actress. You give everybody from Meek Mills to Bernard Hopkins a key to city and an award, and you don't help nobody in the city. This poverty. I got about 13 or 14 city council people taking a picture with a photo op with an actress, but I can't see you in the neighborhood taking a photo op with the constituents, the ones sleeping on the sidewalk, or the ones who need. You know, houses falling down. Come on.
And you know, I look at when they do self-appoint themselves as leaders, basically I'm only seeing them benefit from getting the grants, mm-hmm. getting the...
The bag. Getting the bag.
The bag. You're right.
Getting the
you
bag.
Know, I'm not seeing... Because you would have people to come out and say, okay, this is what this person did for me. You know, I mean, give us some kind of feedback. And you know what I'm sick and tired of? When we're talking about reparations, we've been fighting for this for over 40-something years. And every committee, every person in this city, and I know several attorneys that was heading this project, it's a bunch of nonsense, because they want it for themselves instead of doing what the other people did to get what benefits that they were entitled to, like the Jewish people. You know, you knew who was your ancestors that was involved with getting reparations, that were enslaved. But yet I hear them, we need it for colleges.
Hold up. Now listen to this right here, because at the beginning of the term of President Biden, the Asian people who had gotten beat up or jumped or accosted, next thing you know, coming out of the White House is a bill for protection. And so you still haven't had the George Floyd bill passed, and yet you got all these other bills to protect the alphabet folks, the Asian folks. And so, once again, I may not have a nickel in this quarter, but I'm not going to change. Like you're going to get me. You're not going to get the black person. You're going to get me. I just happen to be African American. So don't say what's the black thing for. We can, you know, I'm black treatment. I feel, you know, I feel that the men who stand there and got to tell another man who he is a coward. If this man don't respect your manhood, then you need to make him respect your manhood. But when you cry and you got tears out your eyes talking about I'm a black man, can't you see I'm a black man? If you was a man and you would shut it down, if you was a man, you find an alternative way for him not to treat you any way else but a man, but like a man. And so it's like, I'm done. It's like it's a cowardly move to stand there and try to articulate and explain your stuff. It's like you trying to impress women.
Period. You know what I do? I take a break, you know, and then I get enough, muster to get back into the fight. Because, you know, I've been hearing this on the radio. You don't know what to do with the money if you got reparations. Like, how have you benefited us being a leader? And they're going to tell us what we cannot do with reparations. You know, a lot of these people talking about, oh, let's give it to the black universities and colleges. You know, I give to the United Negro College Fund every year, sometimes twice a year, where the children, I mean, send their pictures and their stories, how they need money to go to college. But yet, the very same people that gets on the air and say, okay, you don't know what to do with your money. I wonder if they're giving anything to help other people's children to go to college. You know, people need to realize when you got someone in a position with the microphone, you can do a lot with that microphone.
Absolutely.
And I've seen it done. I mean, you can call people to rally for you, and then we end up being sued.
Mary Mason used to call people.
You know, and I'll never forget that.
When there was a guy named Al Spivey, who was chief of staff for Curtis Jones, who ran for Curtis Jones' city council seat, or wanted to run for his seat before Curtis Jones ran for it. And I remember Mary Mason would make phone calls and let everybody know that he didn't live in the city, or the house that he had address for that lived in this city, that was in this city, didn't have electric running or running water on. And so that made it vacant. And so she embarrassed him, and he didn't get anywhere near running for city council, except for being the chief of staff of Curtis Jones. And then there was other folks who knew his bad habits that they buried, but they knew that he couldn't be a city council person because once they investigate him, they're going to come up with some bad habits that he might have had or that he does have, you know. And so you keep covering up. And like you said, you wouldn't want them to handle your money. I wouldn't want half of these folks to be touching on any money that was directed towards African American.
Exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Don't want them to touch it. You know,
from Atlantic City, the mayor and his wife that's in trouble, to New York, the mayor that's in trouble. Only thing in the middle of those two is Philadelphia. And this stadium is going to get this mayor in trouble. But don't nobody want to talk against, you know, the current mayor. Nobody want. So you have no balance. You have no opposition. So that means you are not going to get things. Things are not going to be better because they can get an educated person to speak into you, the ones who went to the European schools and got educated by the Europeans, and yet you are so enamored by those $50 words, you know, and they give you a guess from somewhere else, always a guess from another state, always a guess from somewhere else, and they rarely talk about the issues that's the block-to-block issues. Okay, you live in Mount Airy. They found the body on Martin Luther King campus. Just last week, you heard nothing about that other than for that day. That was somebody's kid that was found.
He was a teenager, you're right. You know?
And he was put there because the day before they had an event, a get out the vote event with balloons and a DJ and all the stuff that you need to make them dance, make them jump around, you know, the buffoonery that you need. So how do we go from a day in the evening time to in the morning time finding a body on this school?
But you know what? They think that we should be happy with what's going on because only thing I keep hearing, oh, the murder rate is down. You know, I mean, give us some clues as to who's committing these murders here. Nothing. Every time you turn around, they have no clue as to, and we have cameras everywhere. And you mean to tell me only thing I hear from the district attorney, the murder rate is down, and yet I didn't get my forensic equipment yet.
Right,
you know,
right.
A bunch of nonsense.
You have
to have qualified people to even operate the forensic equipment. Yeah. And for what we've been seeing that was going on in that district attorney's office with Rendell, Lynn Abraham, Seth Williams, and now with Krasner,
so they
would be afraid to have anyone to have hold to some forensic equipment. We're looking at over a thousands of people that said that they were wrongfully convicted in Philadelphia, dating back from Rendell.
Did you see the courts? Did you see in, I guess it's page 7A, where the court says a man can sue PA over decades of solitary confinement. And so now you're not just, so you got 110% occupancy in almost all these prisons, and you got 40% correctional officers, 40%. And so this man spent decades in solitary confinement. How many other men have been in solitary confinement in these prisons right here? How many other men are denied their humanity in these other prisons that can't get the services because you don't have enough guards to do what it is that you are supposed to do for them? There's still a level of humanity that you have to treat these folks with.
And you know what? People are afraid to speak out against that because you look at what's going on now. Because they have their hands in the pockets of the government, they see it's wrong. And I'm talking about these anti-violent groups. They know what's going on.
It's sad.
But yet,
it's
they're
sad.
Not allowed to speak out against anything concerning what's going on with the injustice system in this country and in this city and state. You cannot tell me over 1,000 people was wrongfully convicted under some district attorney named King, associate district attorney. Come on. He had a supervisor. He had a director of the department. And a judge should have been looking at that information.
Somebody should have held him accountable.
But they're going to sue the city.
Right, but somebody should have held him accountable. And this is another thing, you know, and I say it as an African-American Republican. Every time I look at the most influential people and I see all Democrats on there, or I see all people who support Democrats on there, and I say, well, wait a minute. So you taking Republican tax dollars, taking their money for their hard-earned money, their hard-work-for money, and yet now they aren't considered for anything. You're like, all you got is your own folks there. And it always comes a time where the tide turns. You know what I mean? And I'm like, if you look at the most influential people, you could probably find, let's say it's 30 of them. You could probably find 12 of them that's not even from Philadelphia.
And you know that I look at, we need a balance because I look at where I vote Democrat. And I make sure I vote a Republican mm-hmm. in to do oversight because it shouldn't be strict Democrats and it should not be strict Republicans because I see what's going on in this system because they never prosecute wrongdoing when it's a Democrat involved.
When is they friends? When is they friends? Now, look, I want you to hold on a minute. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a 1 minute break and I'm going to come back to you. You know, got to run some commercials, but don't go anywhere. Hang on.
Okay.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Miss Mary.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question right here. So you got one candidate who has his own group of guys because he's been a billionaire and he's had influence and money for a long period of time. And he says, taking this risk, what do you have to lose? And you got another candidate who look just like you do, who put dresses on like you do, who said that she's just not going to be a president for one group of people. Now, if she would have never said that, she didn't have to say that, but she got cornered in speaking points when somebody say, well, are you going to help the African-American community? Well, no, I'm not just going to help them. And so, if you're just not going to help them, I've not heard any other candidate of any other culture or religious group say anything against helping or not helping their group of people. Helen Gillen helped who? Her group of people, and helped formulate a charter school for her group of people, and she sent her kids to that charter school based on her people running it and her helping them build that charter school.
You know why they do that? Because Prince, we're only 14% of the population, and we're being killed off basically every day.
Every day.
You're not going to win any election with 14% of the population. We get now immigrants that do not want to become citizens. They're not allowed to vote. So who do you have? But you have to talk within the means of who's going to elect me in those positions. You know, Barack Obama did the same thing. You know, you cannot come out and say, okay, I'm just going to back black people and think that you're going to win an election that way. You got a lot of people out there that don't like black people. You know, so at that point, what are you going to do? You're going to make sure that you get in the position to have the groups in place, like the Senate and the Congress, because we don't, a lot of us don't vote at all. I've been voting ever since I can remember voting. But
Barack got in office, and to your point, Chicago, Illinois, or Illinois itself, do not issue any gun permits. Like, you can't, you don't have reciprocity, they don't have gun permits at all. And yet, all the killing that goes on in Chicago, and everybody who has a gun, it has to probably be an illegal gun, you know, because they don't offer gun permits. It's about the only state that don't offer gun permits because of the gun violence and stuff like that. And so I say that because it's being smart enough to understand the dynamics of how this system works, being able to make sure that the very poor people, the most impoverished people, the one at the bottom of the totem pole, which seems to be the today's commodity to help everybody else out. Collective bargaining agreements, most of them take place based on nonprofits that cater to impoverished people at a certain income level, that have certain situations and dispositions in their family, whether it's the kids are on Ritalin, whether they have disabilities, learning disabilities, and stuff like that. All those things is where some of these nonprofits, I'm talking about, you can get a nonprofit that is bringing in $700 million, and you can have a collective bargaining agreement with that nonprofit from the unions, all of the unions, and some other facets and stuff like that. And the commodity of them people is poor people. Poor people. And then you go to your neighborhood, and yet you being taxed, you got to pay property taxes, you got to pay municipal taxes, you got to pay school taxes. If that tree is pulling the roots, is pulling up your sidewalk, although when you put your trash on the sidewalk, they tell you you don't own the sidewalk, then why am I paying when somebody trip on this cement from a city tree? You can't cut the tree down. Not in your neighborhood.
Prince, you know a lot of these people would not even have jobs if it wasn't for the nonprofits. You know, they want poor people. They could not survive without poor people being in place. And when nonprofits started out, it was supposed to be where we provided you with a grant and also private money, and you were supposed to hire people, and they were required to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. No, you have people just running on the system saying, I'm a nonprofit. I don't have to pay anything.
I'm going to get them a stipend.
That was never the principle of a nonprofit.
They got that from the churches, though.
Employment.
They got it from the churches. We realize every church that we've built since Sharon was moved from off of Broad Street, Deliverance and all those churches, when they moved from off of where they moved from, you know, all of the contractors, about all the contracts from the Ping crew to the developers were white. So we had all of them come in. And I'm saying, well, why didn't you build an annex in order to train your congregation how to paint? Go to Sherman Williams and have them work something out with you and teach them and show them how to paint. Why didn't you go to the Carpenters Union? Why didn't you go to some places? So now that you formulated in your annex to teach and train people how to do skills and how to do trades. This is what they did in 1920, 1930. That's why you had so many African Americans who knew how to do everything from put shoes on a horse to make a hat. Now you don't have the skills to do anything. They got annexes. I went to E9, I think, for an event that Word had up there, and I seen there was a basketball court in the gym. You know, you got all the sports. You know how many people get selected to play sports on a professional level? One out of every 100,000 or more. You know, and so we are somewhat, or the leaders we put in place are supplemental to our own failure.
Because, you know, I had to look twice at these churches that we have in the city, because I used to handle like emergency benefits, like emergency shelter and emergency medical. Mm-hmm. Several people would come to me saying that they went to their church first to ask for help, and they refused them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. And you look at it, because one gentleman told me because he was late on paying his tithes. I mean, if you're not there to help the poor, then what benefit?
I didn't know you late on paying your tithes.
You know, he said he was late on paying his tithes. You know, you have to pay
I was in Atlanta.
Monthly.
I was in Atlanta. The system works well. I was in Atlanta, and I went to Eddie Long Church. In fact, Eddie Long worked at the gym before he died. You know, the woman at the gym that I worked out at, she was the one who helped them bulk up. He's a real small, thin guy. So she helped them bulk up on Peachtree Street down Center City. I went to Clearfield Dollar Church because Evander Holyfield, him and I, he took me there. I was his guest at Clearfield Dollar Church. And they used to run your credit, make sure your credit was good. They did a background check on you, and they kind of put you at a certain dollar amount. So you should be able to give this amount of money. And so people have bought into that system, you know, of them regulating you. And I went to, who else did I meet? I went to Ohio at Rye Parsley's church, and he was charging $1,000 just to walk on an airplane, just to go up the steps, walk on the airplane, turn around, and then come back out. He said, well, this is the airplane I use to do missionary work. And it was a line lined up all the way back. It had to be more than 100 people that's willing to pay $1,000 as if they've never gotten on a plane and flown from one place to the next just to see what this guy airplane looks like. So if we are that stupid, if we are that cowardly, if we aren't speaking up for anything nowadays in today's society, then we need to be called out. You're not fighting for anything. It's just crazy. In an election like this, around this time when Obama was running, you had everybody wearing an Obama T-shirt. You had all the carrier vans and stuff like that draped with stuff. And I'm a Republican, so I'm not a Democrat. I'm just saying, so when it looks like somebody done already made the deal and somebody done already moved the needle, you know, the most important thing y'all need to fight for is probably Casey, because Harris not going to win. But you need to fight for Casey. And you know, because McCormick don't know you. McCormick boys is military boys, you know, academy boys. You know, his no is his no, and his yes is his yes. And, this, you know, I've not seen any African-American males in none of his commercials and stuff like that. They reached out to me. I said, if you're going to meet with me, you want me to help you as a Republican, I need a roundtable to talk about economics. But then I got a heavy fee, too. So, you know, so you do better not dealing with me. But if y'all don't get out and vote, if y'all don't get out and do something different, then you can't complain when folks start moving on y'all. Cause folks,
well, you know what? I'm like, George, I'm going to be all right no matter who is in office.
There you go. There you go.
You know, because I've survived. I'm a survivor. And my family, they're going to survive. You know, so my thing is people need to realize how it's going to benefit them. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about the lesser of two evils because I had said that I've always voted that way.
And I keep hearing Christians say that. I don't understand. If you believe in the God you serve and you believe in Christianity, then there's no such thing as the lesser of the two evils. How are you even compromising? That doesn't even make any sense.
You know, because I look at it this way. They're not going to do everything that they're promising that they're going to do for you, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm going to look at how is it going to affect me, my family, and my surroundings as a whole.
Correct.
I can't keep voting the same people in and they're going to tell me, oh, the crime rate is down. And then I'm seeing you doing nothing but a lot of talking, or I'm going out for grants. And I'm not going to have boots on the ground. What kind of nonsense is this? This is what we're living with in Philadelphia. And I can't imagine after they review all those cases on a federal level, those ones where the people said that they were railroaded and went to prison illegally. I can't imagine Philadelphia have to pay that. We would definitely go bankrupt paying what somebody else did.
Absolutely.
If anything, they need to start locking them up. I don't care who it is.
Right.
I don't care if it's a Lynn Abraham, Seth Williams, Rendell,
Krasner.
Or Larry Krasner. If you committed a crime, I don't care who it is, and you're going to cost me money, something you're taking away from me and my family, knowing that you did wrong?
No, I'm
not for that. That's why I said we have to have checks and balances here. If you're sitting up there as a FBI agent, an attorney general, district attorney, and you're looking at evidence, a judge, and you bypassing it, ignoring it because of your convenience, then no, you need to go to jail. And that's the way I've always looked at things.
I seen this, I don't know if it was a documentary or it was actually a movie or a replica of a movie of a judge who was housing kids or sending kids to certain places and stuff like that. And I didn't know that it was an actual story that happened in, I think I want to say Glenn Mills or one of those. Glenn Mills, where the judge was actually getting a kickback for sending kids to certain places and leaving them in there past the time that they were supposed to be there and stuff like that. And so to your point, if there's no watchdog group, if there's no overseer group, if there's nobody watching these folks, and once again, when I get off the airwaves with you, I'm going to spend the next 30 days to get the person in the president's seat that I choose to vote for, that I choose to support. Everybody don't have to like your choice. But what I found is that non-African Americans mobilize and they put resources together and they are sticklers on being organized enough to see the process through. And we used to be that way. Oh, my God. My grandma used to take me to the NAACP meetings and my mom went to OIC as a seamstress and stuff like that. We used to be that way. We are not that way now. And we're going to take a big loss, not just in this city, but as a group of people, because we're not head in technology. We might have one or two people who know it, but every time we get people who are good at whatever it is they're good in, they are absorbed and they are taken up by a University of the Penn with full scholarships and full rides and stuff like that. So they never go to a black school at all because they, you know, although they may have something to offer because the world wanted it, they get people to come after them that can provide them the opportunity for their family and their, you know, their situation. And so I don't know how we're going to fight this right here because I'm not switching parties. I support the candidate that I support for president, and I'm excited about that. And I got 300-400 people that move out that way for me. I want to see what he's going to do with the IRS. I want to see what he's going to do with a lot of these agencies and stuff, the justice system and our agencies and stuff that's been hard on folks that I know. So, look, I got
well,
the last 2 minutes. I'm going to give them to you, Miss Mary.
The IRS, you know, that's a joke because they, too, do not want to get involved in ending their careers.
Correct.
We're looking at the information on the system. Every agency has the same information on everybody. We know how much you bank.
Right.
We know how much you receive. And we know where the source of your income is coming from. So, you know, nobody wants to get involved. But one good thing that Ronald Reagan did,
mm-hmm.
he made sure anytime you touch that computer system to mm-hmm. obtain that information, your name and ID number is on the system for mm-hmm. life. We cannot erase it. So that was one good thing. And you could be called in at any time that you aided and abetted in that crime.
Right, like
so
people
need to realize, even if you're in a government position, you can also be charged. Look what they did with Flint, Michigan with the water crisis.
Oh, absolutely.
Where they actually
absolutely.
Charged the governor and the prosecutors and the investigators.
And they charged the governor for that bridge gate in Jersey. I mean, whether
exactly.
it stuck or not, you were still charged. Look, thank you, Ms. Mary, for calling on Life is a Gamble. Your host,
thank
Melvin
you.
Prince Jonathan. Next Monday, I'll be here same time, same place.
Thank you.
Everybody plays a fool sometime. There's no exception to the rule. Beyond the sky, it's been a long,
There's no exception to the rule. Beyond the